Why do it alone when there's help that can be had? Amen. You know, I was in my office there before I came out, just praying and getting ready for the service. And this may sound a little funny, but maybe it's just for you. I feel like I should tell you, you need to take a vacation. I'm serious. You need to take a vacation and just rest and get refreshed and energized. But also, when you're tired, you lose creativity. And it's easy to lose vision because you're so consumed with the day in, day out routine of things. But a vacation can refresh you spiritually. And a vacation can also cause a new sense of creativity to come. I know ever since I got off mine, it seems as if I'm seeing things clearer as far as where God wants me, where God wants this church, and all of those things. And so it is beneficial. And so if that's for you, if you've been debating whether or not to take one. I think it'd do you some good. Amen. Open up your Bible to the book of Romans. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our happy ushers will be in the aisles now, ready to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, that one is yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and you just for whatever reason couldn't bring it with you, you can give it back to our ushers at the end of service. I'm teaching from the floor again this evening. No one said that they didn't like it last week, so I assumed that meant some people did like it. But I know my wife did tell me her neck started getting a little creaked since she's on that far side. So if you are on the far side on either one of these first couple of rows and you want to move in closer or whatever it may be, you're not going to hurt my feelings if you get up and do so. Romans chapter 8, and let's look here at a verse of Scripture. In verse 14, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I think one of the reasons why it is because I've heard so much teaching on it, which is a good thing. You probably have heard me make mention of this. I'll make mention of it again and again as long as I'm the pastor of this church. But the Lord has given me three things to live my life by, three keys. The first key is to have clean hands. What that means is to walk in love. As we read third service Sunday morning in Job chapter 17 and verse 9, he who has clean hands grows stronger and stronger. And I took that literally. If I want to grow stronger and stronger, if I want this church to grow stronger and stronger, I better keep my hands clean. Number two, after clean hands, is to inquire of the Lord. We'll come back to that. And then number three is to don't think survival, think increase. Those are three things I try to live my life by. And we talked on the subject of vision on Sunday mornings about that subject of vision, so I won't take time to talk about that. But number two, inquire of the Lord. Really what that's talking about is being led. Being led by God in life. And that's what this scripture here is talking about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons, or you could say daughters too, of God. Look at this. Let's read it again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now notice this, sons of God, daughters of God, should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. You ought to be led by the Spirit of God. I ought to be led by the Spirit of God. And friends, I say this quite often when I'm teaching on this subject. When I was a child, I heard Keith Moore say it, and I often heard my father say it, that if you could be led by the Spirit of God and learn to be led by the Spirit of God, you would have it made. And friends, I'm telling you, the more I live and the longer I pastor, it's the honest to God's truth. If you can be led by the Spirit of God, you will have it made in this life. I was talking to a pastor in another state on Tuesday, and he was talking to me about the building, and he was familiar with us and familiar with what we do and our situation. And he asked me, he said, why didn't you build faster? You know, we had this property out here sitting undeveloped for 10 years. Why didn't you build faster? Because in reality, this facility, we only owe, once we get finished cutting a big check, we're about to cut a big check, we'll only owe about $2 million on this facility. So we don't have a huge amount of debt or anything like that. We'll pay it off really, really quick. Amen. So it wasn't as if we stretched ourselves financially at any time over the last 5 years or so. We could have built this facility. And the only thing I knew to tell him, the reason why I waited, is because I never heard to build the facility until we built it. I woke up one morning, the Lord said it's time to build, and so we started building. And friends, you look at things like this, and I look at things like that in my life, and I kid you not, and people may think I'm bragging when I say this, but I'm not bragging at all. I'm trying to teach a spiritual principle. My life, including building this building, filling it up, doing three services, going over to phase two, it's easy. I'm not stressed out. I'm not tired. I'm not anxious. I'm not burdened down. I'm not unhappy. I'm thrilled with my life. I'm thrilled with my marriage. I'm thrilled with my kids. I'm thrilled with where the church is at. It's only getting brighter and brighter, stronger and stronger. And friends, the reason why that is because of the three things I mentioned specifically, but particularly number two, I try to not do anything without being led. And the truth of the matter is, whenever things in my life start to get hard, I can always trace it back to the fact of normally I'm doing something that I didn't have a leading to do. It seemed good to do it as far as in the natural. And with my mind, it made sense to do it. But there have been occasions where I've stepped out and done something without taking the time to check on the inside, to get a leading from the Lord to do it. And whenever I've done that, I've found that life tends to get a whole lot more complicated than when I just rest in God and don't move until He tells me to. Do you know David, King David, never lost a battle? You know why he didn't lose a battle? Because before every time he fought a battle, he asked the Lord if he should fight it. He got a leading from the Lord, and every time he did that, he won every time. Friends, what if you were led by God? What if you were led by God? What if our politicians were led by God? What if your banker, the people you trust your money with, your investors, were led by God in what to invest in? But what if you were? What if you were led by God in relationships to be in, or led by God in jobs to work, or led by God in what to say to your spouse, or not say? What if before we spoke and gave anyone wisdom, we were led by God in what we said? Do you think it'd make a difference? Do you think it'd cause things to increase financially? Do you think it would provide a new peace in life? Friend, I'm telling you, there's peace in this. Because when you know you're doing the will of the Lord, what's there to be concerned with? I mean, if I can please God, what else matters? And the only way to please God is to be led by Him. And here we see explicitly that as a child of God, you have a right and a privilege to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, what's the reason why so many people are struggling to hear from God? What is that reason? Well, the reason is found if we keep reading here. Let's read Romans 8 and 14 again, then we'll go on down. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Once again, sons and daughters of God are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now notice this in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness. If you have a pen or a highlighter, underline or circle that phrase or highlight it. Beareth witness. The Spirit itself, a correct translation would be Himself, beareth witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. So verse 14 tells us that if you're a child of God, and how many of you are born again this evening, you made a decision That looks like the majority of you are. If you are a child of God, you should right now be led by the Spirit of God. If you are a child of God, which it looks like the majority of us are, you ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Well, how does He lead us? What's the avenue that God communicates through to us? We see that avenue in verse 16. It says, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." How does God and His Holy Spirit communicate with you? He bears witness with your what? Spirit. 99% of the time, when God leads you, it's going to be by bearing witness with you. Or you could call it, as Brother Hagin called it, the inward witness. When God is leading you, 99% of the time, it's going to be through the inward witness. God bearing witness with your spirit. Bearing witness with your spirit. So what's the avenue that God speaks through? He speaks through His Holy Spirit to your what? To your spirit. Do you see how it would be impossible to hear from God if you weren't aware of your spirit? The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. I'll put it to you this way. I don't know if you've ever been expecting an important phone call, or if you were even expecting a relative phones you up and they said, "Hey, I just had you on my heart, and I'm going to be sending you a $500 check in the mail." Well, what would you do? You'd be checking that mailbox. Isn't that right? You'd be going out there every day looking at that mailbox. Why? That's the avenue the check is flowing through. If you had your phone and you were expecting an important phone call, maybe you were out applying for a job and you were expecting them to call, you all know what it's like to go and check that phone almost every 30 minutes to see if someone called or if you missed a call. Why? That's the avenue they said they would contact you by. So if you're expecting someone to communicate with you, whether through mail or through a phone call, you always check the avenue that they said they were going to be operating through, that they said they would reach you with. So if God is bearing witness with our spirit and you want to be led by God, hear from God, what should you be checking all the time? Your spirit. God did not say He's bearing witness with your flesh. So we shouldn't be asking for 5 red trucks to come. "God, if you want me to do this, let 5 red trucks pass in front of my house right now." No, He didn't say He'd lead us that way. We shouldn't bear witness with our flesh. "Well, God, you know, I don't feel..." Well, if we're going to be led by God, He tells us the avenue He works through is spirit to spirit. His spirit bears witness with your spirit. I heard Brother Moore say this, and we'll make mention of this right now, and then we'll move on. But he said there are 3 R's to being led by the Spirit. 3 R's. I wanted you to get these 3 R's yourself. If you have taking notes, you can write these down. He said there are 3 R's to being led by the Spirit. The first R is respect. Respect. Everyone say respect. Respect. That's the first R to being led by the Spirit. A big part of respect, if you respect someone, you yield to them. You give them a high place in your life. And so if you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, the first thing you're going to have to do is respect the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to respect Him, which means you yield to Him. Which means you put Him at a very high place in your life. It means before you accept a job, you check in your heart. You check in your spirit to see whether or not you should accept that job or not. It means you're checking, you're giving Him a place of authority, a place of say-so in your life. So you're checking with Him all the time. If we don't yield to the Spirit of God, we don't respect the Spirit of God. To respect the Spirit of God is to yield to Him. And to yield to Him means to slow down enough in life and check on the inside to see if what you're doing is the will of God. Number one, respect. You've got to respect Him. You've got to give Him the ultimate place of authority in your life. God has the final say-so, and you don't move until He tells you to. You check with Him. Number two, you've got to recognize. Number one, you've got to respect. Number two, you've got to recognize. And this is where a lot of people miss it. They want to be led by the Spirit of God, but they don't realize they are being led by the Spirit of God. They don't recognize God's voice. You see an example of that in the Old Testament. You remember Samuel, just as a young boy growing up in the house of the Lord? He hears the voice of the Lord call unto him, but he doesn't recognize it. And so he has to go run to the priest, and he starts talking to him about what he's hearing and ask him if he called him. And he said, "No, I didn't call you." And he goes and lays down again, and the voice of the Lord calls out to Samuel again, but Samuel doesn't recognize it. So he runs back to the priest, and the priest says, "It's God trying to talk to you. Next time He says something to you, say, 'Your servant is listening. Here am I.'" And so Samuel went back and did that. And sure enough, as soon as he recognized God's voice, God started speaking to him. See, God speaks to you a whole lot more than you think He does. He bears witness with you a whole lot more than you think He does. The problem is number one, people don't slow down enough and respect God enough to actually listen to Him. But then number two, there are a lot of people who just don't recognize that it's God talking to them. Then number three, you've got to respond. Meaning, once you know it's God speaking to you, once you know it's Him telling you to do it, you got to do it. You got to keep doing what the Lord tells you to do. You've got to respond to it. Number one, respect. And we'll come back to these and teach on these further. Number one, respect. Number two, recognize. And number three, respond. God communicates with you spirit to spirit. So the more aware of your spirit you are, the greater His leadings will be to you. If you're not aware of your spirit at all, you could live and die and be born again and never hear from God, although He's speaking. Because He's communicating with you spirit to spirit. God bears witness with your spirit. Go over to 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at this. This has kind of been our golden text. All the T's in the New Testament are grouped together. And so if you find Timothy or Titus, you're real close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look here in verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, the whole part of you is made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. You are a three-part being. You are a spirit, and you live in a body, and you possess a mind. You are a three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. How many of you know that's why when you go to a funeral, you often hear people say, "That's not them. The life has gone out of them." Why? Because they're a spirit being. All of us are. We are spirit beings. And that's the part of us that goes to live in heaven or hell while our bodies are still here on the earth. We're a three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. You are a three-part being. Now, this is where it gets interesting. I want to take time to sit on this for a minute because I want you to do a thorough examination of yourself. God communicates with you. He leads you by what channel? Your spirit. So if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you got two competitors competing with your spirit for direction, and that is your soul and your body. And those two things, if they are stronger or more dominant in you, it will hinder you from being able to hear from God. I'll give you an example. Say you're waiting for a phone call, but you've got your television turned up really loud, or your radio turned up really loud. And I'm trying to reach you on the phone. I told you I was going to be calling, and so I'm calling and calling and calling. But because of the volume of your radio or the volume of your television, you don't perceive that I am calling, even though I'm trying to call you and tell you something. Well, it wasn't that I wasn't calling or trying to tell you something. It was that your senses were more overwhelmed with other things than they were that telephone. Well, the same thing is true with this. Many people are more body conscious than they are spirit conscious. And their body is screaming at them so loud that they couldn't hear God if they wanted to unless they turned down the volume of feelings in their body. Other people are more soulish. They're more mental thinkers. And their mind talks so loud to them that it drowns out the witness of the Spirit. If you want to be Spirit-led, you've got to have yourself dominated by your spirit man. Meaning, you've got to crank up its volume and feed it and turn down the volume on the other two parts. Which one are you? I would say this: if I'm not careful, I tend to be more soulish. I'm not, you know, feelings and whatnot. Don't get me wrong, each part has its place, but I'll tend to be more soulish. I like to educate my mind. I like to sharpen the saw, if you will, mentally. I enjoy reading. I mean, you can ask my wife. It's the honest to God's truth. I read the Wall Street Journal every morning. I read the Clarion Ledger every morning. I read Fortune Magazine, Harvard Business Review. I read Forbes. I read Bloomberg. I could go on and on. You can ask my wife. I mean, I read a lot, and I read probably two books a week, spiritually speaking, and then one secular book or leadership book, if you want to call it that, a week. I'm a reader. I like to learn. It's not just something I do for work. I enjoy it. It's my hobby. And so if I'm not careful, I can, and this is a key word, so much to my mind that my mind begins drowning out the witness. And that even in decision-making, I'll pick stocks based off of what I'm reading out of these magazines versus the witness of the Spirit. And that's just an example in my life. There are other people who are more body-conscious, feelings. They sow constantly to their body. Basically, your body tells you it wants something and you give it to it. Now, you can see where addictions and things come into place, even things like caffeine. That's your body screaming at you. Anytime your body tells you you have to have something, that's a good time to cut it off. Because the more body conscious you are, it's one more thing that's going to compete with you when it comes to being led by the Spirit. Brother Hagin said the reason why so many people find it hard to be led by the Spirit is they have spent thousands and thousands of dollars educating the mind. They spent time after time trying to strengthen the body, but they've spent no time working on their spirit. See, the Bible clearly tells us in the New Testament that when you get born again, it's like a baby getting born. There's spiritual development that needs to take place. You're not fully grown right at conception. There's a growth that needs to take place. We'll see some scriptures on this. And so what I want to teach you tonight, and specifically this one particular story, and then we'll get to the other ones, is how to sow to your spirit. The more time you spend sowing towards your spirit, the greater those leadings will be. The more in tune you'll be with your spirit, or we'll go back to that word we've been using, the more aware you'll be of it. Brother Hagin often did so much teaching, and if you ask me, in my opinion, when growing up, it was my least favorite teachings that Brother Hagin did. It was on spirit, soul, and body. And I mean, it was just kind of repetitive, and it was kind of just, you know, it just seemed so elementary, and it just seemed like the basics of things. But I tell you what, now that I'm a pastor, I look at it now, and it is absolutely worth millions and millions of dollars to anyone who possesses knowledge on how to make the Spirit dominant. Being led by the Spirit. And he gives four keys in that series, four things for you to do if you want your Spirit to be the dominant voice in your life. Once again, we want to be more Spirit-led than flesh-led. We want to be more Spirit-led than mind-led or soulish-led or reason-led. And he gives four keys to sowing towards your Spirit and developing it the way God wants it to be developed. The first key, and I'm going to change the order because of what I want to get to tonight and close with. The first key is put the Word of God first in your life. Put the Word of God first in your life. Now, how many of you, you're immediately thinking, man, that sounds simple. And it is simple. But it's much easier to hear than it is to do. Put the Word of God first in your life. There's a couple of scriptures I want you to turn to. Go in with me real quickly here to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And if on the screens, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 2. We're going to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. On the screens, go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Hebrews 4 and 12, many of you probably know this scripture, but let's look at it in the context of what we're preaching on tonight. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, "For the word of God is a quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Notice the Word of God, it's likened to a sword. And he said that sword is going to do something. That sword is going to separate or cut asunder the soul and the spirit. Well, what is the soul? The soul is your mind, reason. What is the spirit? That's the avenue God's speaking through. So many people, they always ask me, I can't tell if this is me or if this is God. I'm trying to figure out if this is me or if this is God. Is this me wanting to do this or is this God wanting me to do this? This is a scripture for you. What's going to make the difference to divide it, where you can distinguish the difference between this is the soul and this is the spirit? What's going to make the difference in your life and mine? The Word of God. The Word of God is the thing God has designed to cut asunder, to distinguish the soul from the spirit. I'll put it to you this way. Many of you know my voice because you hear me preach. And so if we were walking through Walmart and I called out to you, you could probably turn around and before you saw me, knew it was me calling you. Your kids had this with you. They hear your voice so much, I'm sure it's always in pleasant tones. They hear your voice so much that they could be out running around with all the kids in children's church, and if you called their name, they know exactly that's Mama. Why? They know your voice. Why do they know your voice? Because they've heard you so much. Well, what is the Word of God? The Word of God is God speaking to you. This is not just men putting words down in a book. The Word of God is God speaking to you, speaking to me. And so the more familiar you are with the Word of God, it just makes sense that when He starts speaking to you later, it's much easier for you to discern His voice because you're so familiar with it. The Word of God cuts asunder. It divides the soul and spirit. Notice this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. What's going to grow up your spirit? What's going to grow you up to where your spirit is strong and healthy? It is the Word of God. I love the scripture in Colossians 3 and 16. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly. Colossians 3:16. Is the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly? The Word is the thing that's going to grow up your spirit. Well, why is that important? Because that's the avenue God's speaking through. The Word of God, it's going to cut asunder the soul and the spirit. Well, why is that important? Because it's going to help you discern, is this God talking to me? Or is this just me? See, how can I explain this to you, Father? There is a passage in the Old Testament that just keeps coming up to me. And I heard a preacher talking about it when I went to go preach a couple of weeks ago. The preacher got up and in the offering was talking about this particular story. And it's the story of Isaac. And how Isaac went back and redug the wells of his father Abraham. In fact, let's go over there and look at it and we'll close. Go to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. And let's look here in chapter 26. And if on the screens, if you can go to Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 5. We're going to Genesis chapter 26. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. We're going to Genesis chapter 26. It says here in verse 17 of Genesis 26. It said, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines, which is the world, had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Basically, they dumped all the dirt back in the wells of water and had stopped up the wells. And he called their names after the names of which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of that place. And verse 22, I'm not even going to try. And he removed from thence, now watch this, and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Now, why did it matter that they had water? The water was the thing that caused them to be fruitful. See, when you're out in a desert, water is life. It's life for you, and it's also life for, at that time, his business. He was a herdsman. He's got a lot of cows and a lot of sheep and all of those things. And he's also a farmer, and all of those things require water. If you don't have water, all of that is going down the tubes. Abraham realized this too, and that's the reason why he dug for wells in the first place. So Abraham dug for these wells, got the water, and when he got the water, he got life. When he got the water, he got fruitfulness. When he got the water, things started clicking. The Philistines, which is a type and shadow of the world, came back and filled the wells of water back up with earth. There's so many different types and shadows I could run with here as far as the church world today. There were wells that were flowing years ago that people have come and filled up with earth, and we're going to have to redig those wells. But even more than that, there's a spiritual connotation here. In Proverbs 20 and verse 5, it says, counsel, counsel, counsel. What's counsel? telling you what to do. Counsel in the heart of a man. Once again, where's counsel? It's in your heart. What's another name for heart? Spirit. Counsel is in your heart. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Where's counsel? Where's the leading of the Lord? It's in your spirit. It's in your heart. But you got to do the same thing Isaac did, and that is you got to dig the earth out of your life. Dig the world out of your life. And the world will do everything in its power to stop up the well and replace it with TV and replace it. And don't get me wrong, that all has its place. But the Word of God needs to be your first priority. Why? It's going to keep your well clean. It's going to keep you tapped into your source of counsel. And if we fill our life with all different types of entertainment and all different types of books and all different types of advice and all different types of relatives telling us what to do, and we don't take the time to get in the Word and to ask God what we should do, that water was always flowing even when Isaac was on it. But he never enjoyed the water until he dug for it. And it's the same way with you. Counsel is in you. That leading is in you. If you're a son and daughter of God, the leading is in you. You are to be led by the Spirit. But we'll never enjoy that leading, enjoy that counsel, until we learn to dig up that earth and surround ourselves with the Word of God. I'll close with this story. I never heard this story before. I was listening to a tape today off of Brother Hagin's very first teaching on spirit, soul, and body. It was back in the 70s, and Brother Copeland was in the audience. It was a very, very interesting meeting. I never heard him tell this story. He was talking about when he left his last church that he was pastoring and went out in traveling ministry. He was out there for 7 months. And he said at the end of 5 months, everything just broke down. Everything. He was experiencing conflict out on the road. His finances had dried up. Miss Aretha, his wife, was used to him being a pastor, which means she sees him all the time. And here he'd be out on the road for 5 weeks at a time. It's 1949. So you can imagine your husband out on the road for 5 weeks at a time. And what that would, how that could change the dynamics of a family and child raising, and especially when money starts getting tight, whereas before money used to never be a problem. And so he's frustrated, and he's wondering what to do. Now he knows in his heart, he's got counsel to go out into the field ministry, traveling ministry. He's got that counsel. But what did the enemy do here when Isaac was digging for those wells? He sent people to try to stop it, to try to claim that knowledge. And that's exactly what he started doing to Brother Hagin, and it's exactly what he'll try to do with you. Wearing on your flesh, filling it with feelings. Brother Hagin's feeling the pressure. He's feeling the irritation that's causing in the home. He's feeling that financial pinch. He's feeling it. What is feelings? The voice of the body. What's it designed to do? It's designed to speak so loudly that you can't hear the voice of God, filling up those wells back up with earth. And he's feeling that. For 5 months, he's feeling it. Then he started talking. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, through all of this, he made a decision that he was going to look for a pastorate job. And so in 1949, a church contacted him. And this church was the biggest full gospel church. Well, I correct that. He said it was the second biggest, but it was the best church in the eastern part of Texas. He said it was a large church. It had a lot of good members, but it also had a health to it. It was a healthy church. The people were tied in, hooked in with the vision. And he said financially, it would have been far and away the best pay he would have had. He said on any given month, they would pay at least $750 a month, Or it could go up to $1,150 a month, depending on what the congregation gave that month. But it also came with a parsonage, so his housing was free. Now, back then, if you have free housing and you're getting $750 to $1,150 a month in 1949, that's a pretty good living. And so, obviously, that money was very tempting to him, and they contacted him. See, many people are money-led. Opportunity-led. So they contacted him, and they asked him to come preach. And they said after he preached, they would vote on him to be the next pastor of the church. And if he got the vote, then they'd have him as the next pastor. And he had decided to do it. He had made up his mind he was going to do it. And he went home with his wife and he was telling her the news. And a Sunday morning came and he didn't have a speaking engagement. So they decided to go to another little church out there in Texas that was close to their home just to sit under the word. Well, when he got there, he knew the pastor. And the pastor asked him to preach. And he said, no, you know, you prepared and you're ready and I want to sit under the word, so you go ahead and teach. And he said that the pastor got up there and started preaching. And he was preaching on the children of Israel being frustrated because of the way. Back in the Old Testament, it didn't go the way that they thought it would go. And so they got frustrated because of the way. And he said that that frustration led to Moses missing God by smiting the rock instead of speaking to it. And when he did, it cost him. And so Brother Hagin said the whole time he was sitting in that service, all he could do was just sit there because every word was just cutting him to the quick. He knew he was getting frustrated because of the way. And that frustration was going to cause him to miss God. He said right in the middle of it, he felt his heart stop. His heart stopped. He started having a heart attack. He said he fell down there on the floor, and obviously the preacher came rushing down to him and other people came rushing down to him. And they took him out to a little back room. I think it was the parsonage. He didn't go into detail as far as what room it was, but I believe the parsonage was connected to the house, and that's where they took him. And so they took him in there, and they're crying. They know he's dying. He is dying. And so he spoke out with, in weak words, go get my wife, Aretha. And so they went to go get her. But while they were going to go get her, the Lord spoke to her heart and told her the situation. And so she had already gathered up her stuff and was walking that way. She walked in the room and fell on her knees and just started weeping. She said, it's my fault. It's my fault. She said, I was in the house the other day. And basically, from what I can gather, she was complaining. When Brother Hagin was gone for 5 weeks at a time, she was complaining. Wasn't happy about it. And so she was voicing that displeasure. And so Brother Hagin said he never heard her say that, but he could feel it. He could feel she wasn't happy with it. Now I'm telling this story for a reason. I know I'm going over, but this is worth it. She said she never voiced it to him, but she didn't have to. You know, there are some things you don't have to say. You can just feel it. And she said he was out on the road. And she was in the middle of this, dealing with those emotions, whatnot. And she said she heard a voice that said, he can come to a place where you'll never see him again. Meaning, and this is what she realized, that was the voice of God telling her about this situation, that if he gets off on this path, and he starts going the way of his flesh and not the way of the Spirit, and come to a place where you're not just seeing him every 5 weeks, you'll never see him again. He'll die if he gets off on this road. Friends, I'm telling you, there's safety in God's will. But outside of it, there's safety in the will of God. And so she started repenting. And Brother Hagin said he never heard her say that. She never told him that the Lord spoke that to her. She said she heard it audibly. Like I said, 99% of the time the Lord will lead you through the inner witness. But there are other ways he can lead. We'll look at those through Scripture. She heard it with her natural ears. I've had that happen to me once. So she starts repenting. Well, Brother Hagin said at the same time she was repenting, he couldn't voice it because, you know, he's having a heart attack. But in his heart, he's repenting and he's making adjustments. He knows exactly what that preacher was saying was what he was doing, getting frustrated because of the way. And because he was frustrated, he was missing God. And just like missing God cost Moses, missing God was costing him. So he said he repented. And right when he got done repenting, it instantly cleared up and he was perfectly fine. He said the reason why he missed it and the reason why he was going in that direction was, number one, the voice of the body was speaking up feelings. He didn't like it. This was not easy. It was not what he thought it would be. He's wondering what's going on here. And later he made corrections and it turned out easy. But he had to make a few more corrections being led. But his body was speaking to him. He was frustrated because of the way. And then number two, he said he got around a bunch of spirit-filled pastors. And he asked them, what should I do? Friends, there are some questions that are reserved only for God. What should I do is one of them. He said he asked that so many times that he had so many opinions. Well, what's opinion? Opinion comes from reason. What's wrong with that? Reason can fail. Reason can be wrong. It's good, but it can be wrong. But it can be bad. You can only educate your mind so much, and even then it's a chance. It's a chance it might not work. So he said he listened to them so much. What's happening? The more he's listening to his feelings and the more he's listening to his mind and reason and opinions, what's happening to his well? It's getting filled back up with earth. So what's happening to that witness? It's not as strong. That's where it gets dangerous. How did his well get uncluttered? Exactly. He sat in church. While he's in church, the preacher opens up his Bible and teaches out of it. What a concept, teaching out of the Bible when you come to church. Teaches out of the Bible. And when that's happening, it's like a shovel going to work in that well. And it's digging up all that earth, digging out all that opinion. And as he's sitting there, he gets that leading. I need to make an adjustment. And right then he had that heart attack. But see, what would have happened if he was out somewhere else before that well was unclogged and knew he needed to make the adjustment? See, his heart was speaking to him before the heart attack. I need to make a change. When did his heart begin speaking to him? When the word got in there and digged that earth and opinion and feeling and all that other junk out. Put the word of God first. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do you do that? Through the word, getting it. Through teaching and preaching, listening to CDs, getting music that's filled with the word of God, surrounding yourself with that type.